Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, Worldwide Pastor. We're on the radio worldwide, and we distribute literature worldwide, all over the world. And the Lord is really blessing us. We get a lot of unsolicited mail, and we love that mail, but I just don't solicit it. I love it when people write in, because there's such great testimonies, and we can read. We have a few of those this evening, and we also have some music. We've got a strong Bible text and a message directly from heaven. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to really make sure that it's Him that is conducting this service. Father, conduct this service by Your Spirit through my mouth. And if I call testimonies this evening, let them be anointed, the songs, and all the Bible reading. For Lord, so that souls will be saved, and the ones that are slipping away that have already been saved, I have hundreds of pieces of literature, different passages in Your Word that say, there's no such thing as ironclad salvation to those that continue in their sin. Lord, I ask that You let people's eyes and ears and spirits be open so that they can realize this in this world before it's everlastingly too late. For when we leave this world, there remains no more repentance for us, so we have to keep ourselves clean, without spot, blemish, or wrinkle, before we die. Lord, and we need to continue walking in the same spirit throughout our entire life until we go out to meet You. Father, I ask all these things, these most precious things of Your Word, in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, here, you know, there's one of the worst things that can happen to you in the line of things that where people will go to hell in the lake of fire is mentioned in the book of Revelation. And to the first thing it tells you is that all the fearful and unbelieving shall spend eternity in the lake of fire. So don't be afraid of anything in this world, such as terrorists that are sent in by the Vatican. It's all Vatican, and don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of the Pope's puppets, like the President of the United States, and people that are in the federal government. Don't do it, because the Lord said if we become more fearful of them than we are of Him and His Word, that tells us plainly that if we sin, which means to disagree with God, because then we can't make it into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the actual Word of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt with us. That's in John, the first chapter. And so, therefore, we have with us the great falling away mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, just before the Lamb of God, Jesus, comes back to this world to send everyone that disbelieves strong delusions for despising or hating the Word of God, strong delusions unto those of you that refuse to believe the Word of God. And God, because you don't love His Word, His the only truth that we have in this whole world, because you don't have the fear of His Word, prepare to meet your God and be sent into hell in the lake of fire. Lord, we ask that all these things will become known to everyone, that the church may be strengthened and preach this word that I'm preaching this evening. Father God, that the souls, the lost ones, will be saved, and that the ones that are already saved will remain saved, because there is no condemnation to those that do that, that continue on in your word. But there is great condemnation. They're condemned. The whole world is lost. It's condemned now. Jesus did not come into this world, which is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He didn't come into this world to save the world, because the world is lost. He didn't come here to condemn anybody, because they're already condemned. You have come into this world to call people to be saved, but there's absolute principles, statutes, precepts, and only one concept that we must believe, or else we spend eternity forever in the lake of fire. Lord, we ask that everyone receives these words in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, Tommy Scarcello is one of our very best singers here in the church. He sings the high voice in the Alamo Brothers Quartet. This is the Brothers Keepers Quartet. Cain told God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And of course we are. But what this man did is he killed his brother. Cain killed his brother. And when God asked him, "Where is your brother?" as though God didn't know where he was, he says, "I know, and I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Yes, you are. And when we wake up at the judgment bar of God, if we have taken care of people on this side of eternity, then we're going to heaven. But if we haven't, you'll find out that you should have been your brother's keeper, because one of these days we're going to really wake up, and there won't be any time any longer. And here is this group. Tommy is still with us, but the other three became frightened, like frightened rabbits, when persecution came, just as the Lord Jesus Christ said many people would do when they preach the word of God. You're going to receive some kind of persecution. You're going to receive foul play from the agencies of the world. So listen close. When I wake up to sleep no more, here's the Brothers Keepers Quartet is singing "When I Wake Up."
Story with the Redeemer, all the
Praise the Lord. Well, when we wake up to sleep no more, we don't have to sleep in the kingdom of heaven. On this side of eternity, we're to sleep little. We're not to love sleep on this side of eternity, but we're to be busy for the Lord, to chalk up as many souls that we possibly can, that they are able to enter the kingdom of heaven when we wake up. But some will be devastated because they'll realize that the things that they've heard, those of us that preach and teach, they'll realize that the things we were telling them are the truth. That's when they really have a crude awakening. We have to fear the Lord God and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Just think, you really don't have to do anything but just fear God and keep His commandment and keep your body mortified by having the Spirit of Almighty God, Christ with His Father, by the Spirit living in you. If you can just accomplish those few things, you will not have any worries about tomorrow or whenever you die, because the Bible says, the Lord's going to come in a twinkling of an eye. He doesn't let people know when it's going to happen. He wants to surprise everybody so that we'll keep on our toes. It's like the parable of the 10 virgins, where five of them really kept their selves in the Holy Spirit, and there were five of them that didn't. They just thought they were pretty cool and that they didn't worry about any such thing as that. But, you know, we really have to keep on our toes in the Spirit when we're in the church, because the Apostle Paul explained to the people in his era of time that they must keep themselves ready. The five foolish virgins decided that they would not read the Word of God and keep the Spirit in, so the Spirit of God could be in them. And the Lord was coming at midnight, sometime during the night. Nobody knows exactly when He's going to come except Him, God. And they were saying, let us borrow from you. They said, no, you have to get your own oil. We're not going to spend any time with you anymore. We have seen that you have not been keeping the commandments. You thought it was folly, that it was really folly to keep the commandments of the Lord. Now you're on your own. And the five foolish ones, there was weeping and weeping very hard, and they were not able to enter the kingdom of heaven. And there's only one other place that you're able to go, all of us. That would be to hell, and then the lake of fire. For death and hell shall be forever. And we die daily, every second of the eternity. Because of the severity of God, the severity is sufficient. Therefore, we don't have to do anything to sinners. We don't kill them. We pray for them. Well, you know, people that commit sin, they must be prosecuted. And if they're, today the law has gone away pretty much. You can see people being slapped on the wrist when they murder somebody, and then somebody that does something that there's no law against, they'll throw them in prison for 30, 40, 50 years. That goes to show how much these government agents know. Recently, I talked to my attorney on the phone, and he said that he saw this. I was asking him, did you hear about those four guys that were sent to prison for over 30 years, some 30 and some 32 years, and they found out by the FBI. You know, the FBI was started by a staunch homosexual, J. Edgar Hoover, And that organization has placed so many people in prison for nothing. And they had to release these people after 3 decades. And the judge gave them an award of over $101.7 million. So that goes to show that you really can't, none of us can really put trust in the FBI. We have some letters today. Can you read a little bit of that letter that we got? It's just a recent case of this FBI, these FBI people actually joined. They were with the mafia and were cooperating with them because, you know, FBI people are not gods. We have a picture of them shooting their own men, trying to make David Koresh guilty of that. And they did, they said, I know you won't receive it because you... the Bible says the whole world is deceived, but you can see them actually on our website murdering 3 of their own men. They were creeping into an upstairs window in Waco of Dave's, and the fourth one was about to get in. He stuck his Uzi machine gun in there and just sprayed the room. And one of them saw him doing it. They shot through the wall, and one of the bullets hit his helmet, knocked him out for a few seconds. And then he woke up and went down the ladder to get to the main ground. And then the news media, which is Satan's mouth, actually was saying that these people in Waco started the fire themselves. And on this tape, if you turn on to our website, you'll see that the tanks, they're supposed to be U.S. government tanks, are shooting flames into this house after they threw canisters full of this inflammable gas, and the whole place was touched off, and they were all killed. This is the federal a government which is really not our federal government. They're the government of Rome. They hate anyone. These people were Seventh-day Adventists. They hate anyone that does not belong to the Roman Catholic cult. They're the same people, the SS and the Eustaches, that killed 6 million Jews in the ovens in Germany and Poland and Czechoslovakia. They took their bodies while they were still alive and skinned them, took the skin off of them, and made lamp shades out of their body. And then after they were murdered, they'd send these young prisoners that they were eventually going to kill when they were not able to work any longer because they barely fed them. And they had them pull all the gold teeth out of their heads and save them, and it mounted up. They murdered so many Jews that had gold fillings in their teeth. They saved so much of it that there was literally tons of gold that came out of their mouths. That's what these demonic governments are all about, is money. Governor Blanton, the governor of Tennessee, was selling pardons. Like if you had enough money and you were sent to prison, the government, if somebody would come in and be cool, you could buy them out of prison for $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 or $500,000, whatever the traffic bears. And a friend of mine, Fred Dalton Thompson, asked me, he used to go by our store when he was going to Vanderbilt University in Nashville, and he said he used to press his nose up against my store windows and said he'd just do anything for those any of those clothes. And his daughter wanted one of my Barbie doll jackets, and so he was telling me all about that and how it's a long story why he wanted to talk to me about helping to stop the phone companies from getting a monopoly on movies, because it was going to put the different video stores out of business. All you'd have to do is dial the phone and then just select a movie that you want, and it would be on your TV screen within seconds or minutes. And that's what we talked about. And he was telling me all about the different things that people did, like Governor Blanton was selling pardons for whatever sum of money, and he actually had him put in jail, and he helped put Richard Nixon out of office. And so read just a little bit of that about these federal government. Now, they were laughing about shooting this people at Waco, David Koresh, and all those little children and their mothers and fathers. And this government was laughing about that. They have no conscience whatsoever. Their consciences have been sealed. There's no condemnation to them. They don't feel any condemnation, but the Lord says that he condemns them, and they're going to have to pay the price. Okay, read a little bit of that article. Does it have a date on it?
Yes, posted July 27th, 2007.
Yeah, just a few days ago. Okay, what does it say?
Wrongfully jailed men to get $101 million, Boston. In a stinging rebuke of the FBI, a federal judge ordered the government to pay a record judgment of $101.7 million because agents withheld evidence that would have kept four men from spending decades in prison for a mob murder they did not commit.
Right. Well, they put me in prison for, they said that I didn't pay taxes. Well, they're liars. I did pay taxes, and they just made up a bunch of lies. I did 4.5 years, but I can't be crowing about that much, because other people have too, but they really they didn't take anything away from God. I mean, if anyone would fall away because of their fear of anybody, they don't deserve the kingdom of heaven. They don't. Anyone that doesn't hate mother, father, sister, brother, that would try to get you a son or daughter, or anyone that would try to get you out of the church of God, to make you fall away, the Bible says that if you do, if you would fall away, that you're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven, and you will not be there. But anyway, we have some more testimonies. We could read, this is a pretty large article. Where is that article that they can find it?
News.aol.com.
Repeat that, so if you want to look it up for yourself.
News.aol.com.
We should put that on our website too, okay? Haven't put it up. All right, because there's just so many reckless, evil things that this federal government, all the different branches are doing, that it's really the end times. Okay, now we have some testimonies. Where's the first one from?
From Sacramento, California.
Okay.
Tony Alamo Ministries. This letter, I believe, is appropriate to cast my appreciation and thanks for your ministries, has the validity of biblical truth, which explicitly replenished my spirit. The implication of the movement of the Holy Spirit is thoroughly obvious. The essence of God Himself has to possess Pastor Alamo completely. For I test and refine with fire, and by doing so I only found God's truth, no falsehoods there. I'm fortunate that God has brought your ministry to my attention. Jesus is everything. May He continue to always bless your ministries.
Amen, brother or sister, whoever this is from. Then what?
I find dependable assurance in both the Bible and your literature. Thanks. If possible, I would like more literature. More, please.
Oh, give them as much as they want. This is a real good person that really wants to get something done for the Lord before it's everlastingly too late. Okay, then what?
If you have a Bible course, I would much anticipate the forthcoming of it. Where is the dotted line that I signed to be an honorary Tony Alamo ministry member? I want to join this ministry, please. I must say I recognize pure preaching when I see it. Praise the name of the Lord. Holy, holy, holy. In Christ, Brother Larry from Sacramento, California.
Amen, Brother Larry. Holy, holy, holy is the living God. Okay, then what?
Then from Malawi, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, I thank you from the bottom of my heart and with all my strength for your courage to sacrifice yourself wholly to the Lord to get such marvelous messages which are really from the Bible. Your messages in the newsletters are truly holy and are inspired by God Himself. When I read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, which says, quote, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, unquote, I see that the spirit of wisdom and revelation are in you, Pastor. You are winning many souls. New converts are becoming born again and are being baptized in your church, which has started here by the distributors from the Tengani area. The churches are growing faster than what people expected, and the team which is distributing here seems very cooperative and lovely. They are working tirelessly, preaching the gospel and distributing your newsletters. If we really love God, let us hate evil. And by so doing, we can raise the roof of the kingdom of heaven. As we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Right, thy will be done. Amen.
Amen.
Thy kingdom come. It's his kingdom. And his will be done, because his will is the only will that is of any value on this earth. Now, you know, if our will becomes his will, well, then we could say the same thing about ourselves, that of course, we're not God, but we are members of his body, and we're going to spend eternity with him in his body. How could anybody be a living person in the Lord and commit sin? You couldn't, because the Lord demands, not just asks for, but he demands perfection. He demands holiness. It's a commandment, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Amen.
And be ye perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect, and as Jesus is perfect, and as the Holy Spirit is perfect. All right, then keep going.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor Patrick from Sanje, Malawi, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right, now I'd like to call a couple of testimonies in. You have got a testimony this evening, Sister Michelle?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, let's hear some of it.
Well, I just want to tell everybody how thankful I am to be in this ministry. And I say specifically this ministry because I know that this is where God wants me. He has showed me many times through the miracles and through just dealing with Tony and working around him every day. I see the work of the Lord that's done here, how much is accomplished for the Lord, and there's not another ministry like that. And I'm just so glad that I was able to be born into this ministry. I was raised in the ministry, and it's just the miracles. You see Tony prays, and the Lord, you see him answering his prayers instantly. I was able to witness the time when he prayed and for the Lord to make it rain, and it immediately started raining. And it was just such, and it just happened time and time and time again. There's so many countless miracles, but I'm just so thankful that I can be part of it.
Well, praise the Lord. Okay, we have other people to give a testimony. Here's my wife, Sharon. She's Hebrew. I've had her on the one of the programs that I did with Greg Szymanski. And she's Jewish as well as myself. My real name, the name I was born with, is Bernie Lazar Hoffman. And, you know, this is a very Jewish name. Now, Sharon, she was almost born in Israel. She flew into New York. She still wasn't born, just days before. Was it just a day before you were born, or what?
A little bit longer.
A day and a half, perhaps? Okay, well, go ahead and give your testimony.
Okay, I really thank God for saving my soul, for taking me out of complete darkness and bringing me to the light and the truth in His Word. I was raised Jewish. I went to Hebrew school. I learned a lot of rituals and a lot of outward motions to show religiousness, but I never got the truth, and I never knew in my heart how to be saved. And I became very desperate at a pretty young age, around 20 or so. I realized this world seemed really to be doomed, and I knew my soul was doomed, and I could not shake that feeling. All the things that seemed to busy me up till then lost their luster completely, and I really needed to find the truth. That's really all I wanted in life, and I thank God that He led me to this ministry. I was witnessed to by someone from this church. They told me the truth of the gospel for the first time in my life. It was right down the line, scriptural for the first time. All I heard was bits and pieces before that. And finally, I found what the Bible stated, and I knew it was true. I was told to seek God myself for a sign, and that He really would reveal to me that Jesus was the Messiah and the Son of God. And that's what I did. And God was faithful to give me a supernatural sign, make me know that He really was the Messiah, and that I could be saved through Him, through His precious blood. And I did repent of my sins, and I was washed in His blood. I became a new creature. That horrible doom, that feeling of hopelessness, left me forever. I have a new joy and peace that's never left me since that moment I got saved. And then God directed me to come to this ministry where I learned the truth, where I really learned the scriptural truth, which is so absent from most of this whole world. It lies in such deception and such darkness. And everywhere we turn, we hear preachers turning people that might really truly be searching for the truth astray into more darkness. It's so horrible. And that's why we have so much to do on this earth before the end comes, because there's a lost and dying world that we need to reach. And I'm just so thankful to be here to work alongside my husband to seek out the lost and dying souls, to let them know that there's hope and life and eternal life and joy in Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Okay, now we have Sister Alessandra. Do you have a testimony, Sister Alessandra?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, I'd like to hear it. I've never heard it before.
I was born and raised in this ministry, and even though I was born and raised in this ministry, that didn't give me a ticket to heaven. And before I was saved, I would like do stuff like steal and lie and stuff like that, and I'd really get convicted of it. And one service night, I pulled on my dad's shirt and I said, "Dad, I want to get saved." And I went down to the altar and I got saved, and the Lord really came into my heart, and I felt Him in my heart, and I just praise and thank the Lord for everything the Lord has done for me and for salvation and for my pastor and for all my brothers and sisters in Christ, and that I'm here in this ministry and that I'm here to stay. I know a lot of people really say that, but I really mean it deep down in my heart. I can stay here till I die. And I praise, thank Lord for my salvation, for everything the Lord has done for me, for my pastor.
Praise the Lord. Very good. Okay, now, Yvonne, she's from Puerto Rico, right? You were born there?
Yes.
You were born in Puerto Rico. Well, how in the world did you end up in New York City? There's so few Puerto Ricans there. No, there's, I guess, several million. Go ahead, let me hear what you have to, your testimony, please.
Well, I remember going to different churches out there in New York and in Puerto Rico. I never did feel the Spirit of God. We got witnessed to by Jehovah Witnesses, and I didn't believe a word they said. It was nothing but heresy that they taught us. And one day, somebody from this church was reading the gospel literature that Pastor Alamo had written to us, and pretty soon we ended up going to the services out in New Jersey, and I felt the Spirit of the Lord there, and my mother and sisters got saved that night, and I never had felt the Spirit of the Lord like I did that night. Just the songs alone ministered so much to me, and just a few days later, we ended up moving to the church out here in Arkansas. And I've been here ever since. It's been 12 years now, and I never regretted a day, and I'm very thankful for my salvation. I later on became saved, and I'm so thankful for Pastor Tony and everything he's done for us.
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, anything that I've done for him was actually the Lord, because even before I was saved, I wouldn't have given anybody the time of day. Okay, is Lydia here? Well, Lydia, do you have a testimony to tell the folks out? Don't get nervous, because there's only around 4, 5, 6 billion people out there. And just relax with it.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm very thankful to be in this ministry. I first came in the early 1970s, and at that time in my life, I didn't know anything about the Lord. I didn't think about God or heaven or hell. It was just pretty much, I was supposed to get an education and get a career and make something of myself, is what my family taught. And everybody that I was around, I didn't see any kind of Spirit of God. Even though we were church people, supposedly, I never knew the gospel of Jesus Christ. I didn't know anything about eternity. I didn't think about where my soul was going to go when I died. And I was just lost, really lost. That's, the perfect word for the way I was. My brother received a gospel tract from someone from this ministry on Hollywood Boulevard, where Tony and Susie had been on the streets themselves, and multitudes of souls got saved. And when he wrote a letter home to us and told us about the church, and my mother and sister and I and my other members of my family came to the church, and that's the very first time I heard the truth. I heard the reality of what was going to happen when a person died. They're going to go stand before God for judgment, and if you had sin on your soul, you'd go to hell for eternity. And it's very simple gospel, and it's very pure gospel that's been preached here since the beginning. And I'm very thankful that the Lord allowed me to come here, because I got down on my knees at the altar. I said that old-fashioned sinner's prayer. I got saved, and I've been fed the Word of God ever since, every day. And it's really a blessing to see how this ministry has grown to every part of the world. There are thousands and thousands of responses that we hear from everywhere. And it's worldwide ministry. World pastor is the true description of Tony. He does continually work for the Lord, and the Lord's really blessed him and really blessed this ministry, and I'm very thankful to be a part of it.
Praise the Lord. We have a lot of witnesses out on the streets all over the world. We have, if you wanted to become a distributor of the literature, and you can, hold services in your garage or in your house. It doesn't have to be a fancy place, because it's not the place, it's the message and the zeal that people see you have. Now we have Sister Angel. You want to come and give a testimony, please?
Praise the Lord. I just want to thank the Lord that I'm in this ministry, and because I know that if I was not in this ministry, there's no way that I would be serving the Lord, because I've heard so many of these preachers on television, and the gospel that they preach is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that is in the Bible. It's so dead, you feel no life in it. But I know, being in this ministry, I feel the Lord every day, and I see the people living the truth. They don't just go through the word of it, they live it. And Tony is such a testimony to us all, to where we go out on the streets and we witness to people and we tell others about the gospel. It's not just something that we go to on Sunday or Wednesday, but in this ministry, he lives in you and you live throughout him every day. And I'm just so thankful, because I see the miracles. I have been healed. Pastor Alma has laid hands on me and prayed over me when I've been very, very sick before, and I have seen so many people be healed, and I just thank the Lord that I'm living in this ministry. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Now, Sister Mendoza, if you got a testimony, she's always bubbling over with joy and happiness, I would say most of the time. So, and you're from East L.A. How long have you been in the ministry?
I've been in the ministry for about 14 years now.
14 years?
Yes.
And you've lived in Mexico, right?
Well, I was born and raised in East L.A., and I lived in Mexico for about almost a year.
Oh, okay. Well, now I've got it straight. Go ahead. Let's hear what you have to say.
Well, I was born and raised in Catholicism, and of course, you know, I never knew the truth about the road of the Word of God, and I never felt the Spirit. I wasn't taught anything. I mean, all I knew was just if I sinned, my mom would send me to confession. I would just go to the same priest to confess, and then go out and do the same thing, and it was the same old thing. And I never knew anything about the Word, and all I know is that I praise and thank the Lord for His mercy that He led me to this ministry. My brother had received Pastor Alamo's literature and Hollywood Boulevard, and in turn, several years later, I came to this ministry, and I got to see the difference between this ministry and other so-called Christian churches that I've been to. That, you know, they don't even pay any attention to you. It just seems like they just go every Sunday, and they wear their Sunday clothes, and that's it. And it's just like they're self-righteous, and they don't even care about their people's souls. And this ministry is, I saw the difference, and people go out and witness. You know, they go out every day, and they testify, they pass out the literature, and it was just a total difference. It was from night and day. And ever since I've been coming to this ministry, and 4 months later, I moved into this ministry, and I'm so thankful that I'm in this ministry and that I get to hear the real Word of God, not watered down, but the way it's supposed to be preached, the way it is. And in turn, I've been growing in the Lord, and I praise and thank the Lord for His mercy on me.
All right, praise the Lord. Now we have little Sharon Kobeck. Come on, Sharon, and you give a little testimony or a big one, whatever you want to do.
I'm thankful for my salvation and that I'm not in the world sinning. I'm thankful I'm not in hell. And I'm thankful for everything the pastor have done for us. And I'm thankful I didn't have to live in the corruption of the world. And I'm thankful for all the tapes, messages. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, now let's go into 1 Corinthians, and I think what chapter was it? Was chapter 1, verse 10?
Chapter 10.
Chapter 10, verse what?
1.
Verse 1, okay, let's hear it.
Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and
all the Jewish fathers, the gospel. The Old and New Testament never started out with Gentiles. It was always Jews. We Jews wrote the Old and New Testament. All right? And so you wouldn't even have the oracles of God if it wasn't for Jews. And Jesus came from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the root of Jesse, the lion from the tribe of Judah. And his lineage is completely Hebrew. All right, so keep going.
And all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud. And
all the Jews were baptized, all of them, the entire nation of Israel. Then what? Not Norway or Puerto Rico or Mexico, but they were all Jews, Hebrews. Then what?
And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
I really, lately, there was people that went over to Israel, archaeologists, and they showed, for sure, it was one of the rocks where the water came out when Moses smote it. And it's still bringing forth water to this very day. Then go ahead.
But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all
so
these...
Yeah, even if you murmur, that is a sin. Because if you really believed, you know, that you're going to heaven and you didn't pay anything for it, the Lord paid the price for it, and all the prophets to tell about it, Jesus and all the different apostles, they told about it, and you started murmuring after all these people, thousands upon thousands were crucified by the Vatican, the Catholic cult, and the people to this very day have been going through all sorts of persecutions, and then you wouldn't care enough about it. I don't see how a human being, a man or a woman, would be able to be so frightened of the government or anybody else, anything on the face of this earth, or be so possessive of things on this earth, if they could only have seen what it is that they're bypassing. They're going to bypass heaven. And just for, they just sat for a half hour a day or an hour a day and meditated on the things that the Lord said that would be there, it's just for keeping the commandments of the Lord. So we have to put up with some persecution, some character assassination, and to be belittled and be treated as though we were something, some kind of a criminal, worse than criminals. But still in all, we do it gladly so that the Lord can see us putting up with even just a little bit of the persecution that he went through. I mean, there isn't anybody that went through the persecution that he did, and I just feel wonderful that I'm able to take even just a little part of what he went through. And it just makes me to know I'm saved, and what it does is it shows other people that there's tenacity there. I'm a tenacious person. I will not stop no matter what they do to me. I will continue on serving, doing good unto mankind by telling them what the gospel is and what it's all about, that we cannot sin and we won't sin, because why put up with all this stuff if we were going to go to hell and if we were going to go into the lake of fire? Now, they cannot persuade me to sin. There isn't anything that they can persuade me with. I'm going to heaven. Okay, continue.
Now, all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
Yeah, you have to be very careful, because the Lord isn't kidding around. He's not a kidder. And when he says that, we're supposed to fear those words, that we have to endure to the end if we will be saved. We have to continue and weary not in well-doing, and keep it going like a strong soldier. It takes a lot of strength to flee from evil, the very appearance of it, and to keep yourself holy. And that way, to be assured and to have a peace on this side of eternity. There's no way that a person can have peace if there's sin on their soul, because nobody in this world knows when they're going to get blown to smithereens. Nobody knows what these fallen away Gentiles would do to you. They're unpredictable what they'll do. They're drowning their own kids. And what do you think they're going to do to you if they think, oh, God is telling me to kill that person? God is not telling you to kill anybody. The Lord says, thou shalt not murder. You are not to murder little babies in their mother's womb, or that they just came out of their mother's womb. You are to keep the commandments. And if you think, well, you're going to get paid a few dollars on this side to murder somebody, this is the spirit of the evil king that lived in the day when Jesus was born into this world and born of the spirit. And, you know, he just lived a little bit longer than that. He killed all the children very young children, and he murdered them. And here Jesus still lived and grew up till 30 years old, and then he was 33 and a half years old, 3.5 years in the ministry, and then he gave up the spirit, went into hell, and paid our the penalty for our sins there, and then arose from the dead. And 40 days later, they saw him ascending into the kingdom of heaven. Absolutely powerful. People read that, and if they don't believe it, and then the two witnesses in chapter 11 in the book of Revelation, they too will be killed. They'll lay out on the streets for 3.5 days, and then the Lord is going to pick them up and pull them up into the kingdom of heaven so that everybody that can see him, they're going to see him on TV. And when Jesus comes back this next time, everybody's going to see him coming back with clouds, just as the two witnesses stated when he rose from the dead, when he was ascending up into the kingdom of heaven. So let's continue on here. We only have about a half a minute.
There hath no temptation taken you, but such is as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able.
No, because if you do as he says, flee from the very appearance of evil, there's no way that you could fall away if you did that. And it's a simple thing to do. Think for a minute. Think for a second, you know. And the Lord says to flee from it and just don't look at it. Amen?
Amen.
Don't pay any attention to it. And that way you'll be able to raise up from the dead, and you will then be in the kingdom of God. Now, if you would like to have that powerful spirit living in you, the Spirit of God, Jesus with his Father God and the Holy Spirit in you, then just say this prayer and you'll have that spirit. And you listen every day to this program and ask for literature from here, and I'll show you how to continue on in the Lord Jesus Christ. Say these words to the Father through Jesus. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up my heart, Lord Jesus, and I invite you into my heart. Wash all my filthy sins, my former sins, all of them away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. Your word says you won't. You said that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my precious soul. Just thank him and praise him now. And Sharon, read, tell the folks out in Radio Land how they can receive a copy of program number 423. And it's absolutely no charge, but please specify whether you want a CD or an audio copy.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370. Or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. Now, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We'll be on tomorrow night, and make sure you tune in for another powerhouse of a message. And in the meantime, here I am to sing for you. This is crying out to the Lord to say, stand by me. And we can do this. We can have him stand by us, because he's in us, and when he's in us, who could be against us? Amen?
Amen.
Stand by me, Lord.
When the storms of life a raging. Stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the world is tossing me like a ship out on the sea. Now who blessed wind and water? Stand by me.
Stand by me.
When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When I've done the best I can, and my friends misunderstand, now who never lost a battle, stand by me.
Stand by me.
Now who never lost a battle, stand by me.
Stand.